Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer reader, Babs Felix, and let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Hansen. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and a New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, just one thing. Are some things getting better? The practice. See progress. Why? There are always things that are getting worse. For example, over the past year, you probably know someone who has become unemployed or ill or both. And there's more carbon in the atmosphere, inexorably heating up the planet. But if you don't recognize what's improving in your own life, then you feel stagnant or declining. This can foster what researchers call learned helplessness, a dangerously slippery slope. It typically takes only a few experiences of painful entrapment to create it, but many times as many counter experiences to undo it. If you don't recognize whatever is getting better in the people around you, then you might feel more disappointed or despairing than you need to feel, and they might not feel seen, criticized, or why bother. If we don't see the positive trends in our world amidst the negative ones, such as for many people, improved medical care and access to information, and less extreme poverty, then we'll get swallowed up by all the bad news and give up trying to make this world better. This is not looking through rose-colored glasses. The point is to see life as it is, particularly your own life, including the progress that is occurring. How? Be aware of the little ways you move forward each day, like getting to the bottom of a sink of dishes or to the end of a stack of emails. Knowing a little more when you go to bed than you did when you woke up. Earning a day's wages or a thank you or a nod of respect. Then, consider a longer time frame. How have you moved forward over the past 12 months? What have you grown, built, and learned? What problematic things have you dropped? See some of the many ways that your material circumstances are better than they were a year ago, no matter if they have worsened in other ways. Notice any shrubs that have grown, fences mended, new clothes acquired, more earning power, improved net worth. See how things have improved in your relationships. To whom do you feel friendlier or closer or more trusting today than a year ago? And what's gotten better in a different sense? Stepping back from people who don't treat you that well. Recognize the sincere intentions, good efforts, and growing abilities in children you raise or teach, in the people with whom you live and work. Consider our sweet, soft planet. Given your values, what's gotten better over the last 20 years? 50, 100, 1,000, 10,000 years? Sure, we face unprecedented challenges, but all the major problems our ancestors had to solve were, by definition, unprecedented when they first appeared. Would you rather deal with our global issues today, or looking farther and farther back in time with Dickensian levels of poverty and misery throughout the 19th century, with millennia of feudal lords, widespread slavery, and commonplace abuse of women and children, or with pervasive hunger and pain and violence in hunter-gatherer bands, in which, as Thomas Hobbes puts it, life was usually nasty, brutish, and short. Personally, I'm tired of the widespread meme, "In these dark times," however it gets expressed. It's ignorant, defeatist, and often used to further an agenda. Every time in human history has been dark in some regards and bright in many others. In 100 ways, daily life is better for the average person worldwide than it's ever been. Recognizing progress does not mean overlooking suffering and sorrow, misery and injustice. In fact, understanding the ways in which some things are getting better helps to bring encouragement and insight to the big pile of things that remain to be done. We've got our work cut out for us, but to keep going, we need to feel we're making headway. Take heart. Zigging and zagging, 3 steps forward and 2 steps back, slowly but surely, we can and will make our world a better place. And here's a quote from Dr. Rick. Understanding the ways in which some things are getting better helps to bring encouragement and insight to the big pile of things that remain to be done. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's another. Are you basically okay? The practice. Notice you're all right now. Why? To keep our ancestors alive, the brain evolves strong tendencies toward fear, including an ongoing internal trickle of unease. This little whisper of worry keeps you scanning your inner and outer worlds for signs of trouble. This background of unsettledness and watchfulness is so automatic that you can forget it's there. So if you can tune into tension, guarding, or bracing in your body, see if you can. Or a vigilance about your environment or other people. Or a block against completely relaxing, letting down, letting go. Try to walk through an office or store that you know is safe without a molecule of wariness. It's really hard. Or try to sit at home for 5 minutes straight while feeling undefended, soft in your body, utterly comfortable in the moment as it is, at peace. This is impossible for most people. The brain's default setting of apprehensiveness is a great way to keep a monkey looking over its shoulder for something about to pounce. But it's a crummy way to live. It wears down well-being, feeds anxiety, depression, and makes people play small in life. Even worse, it's based on a lie. The muttering or fear tells you implicitly, watch out, bad things are happening you're not seeing. Don't ever think you're completely okay. Never let down your guard. But take a close look at this moment right now. You are probably all right. No one is attacking you. You are not drowning. No bombs are falling. There is no crisis. It's not perfect, but you're okay. By right now, I mean this instant. When we go into the future, we worry and plan. When we go into the past, we resent and regret. Threads of fear are woven into the mental tapestry of past and future. Look again at the thin slice of time that is the present. At this moment, are you basically okay? Is breathing okay? Is the heart beating? Is the mind working? The answers are almost certainly yes. In daily life, it's possible to access this fundamental sense of all rightness, even when getting things done. You're not ignoring real threats or issues or pretending that everything is perfect. It's not. But in the middle of everything, you can usually see that you're actually all right right now. How? Several times a day, notice that you're basically all right. You may want more money or love or simply salt for your French fries, or want less pain, heartache, or rush hour traffic. All very reasonable. But meanwhile, underneath all the to-ing and fro-ing, you are okay. The foundation of your activities is an aliveness and an awareness that is doing fine this second. There you are doing the dishes. Notice that I'm all right right now, and perhaps even say that softly in your mind. Or you're driving. I'm all right right now. Or you're talking with someone. I'm all right right now. Or doing emails or putting a child to bed. I'm all right right now. Notice that while feeling all right right now, you can still get things done and deal with problems. The fear that bad things will happen if you let yourself feel okay is unfounded. Let this sink in. You do not need to fear feeling all right. Sometimes you're really not all right. Maybe something terrible has happened, or your body is very disturbed, or your mind is very upset. Do what you can at these times to ride out the storm. But as soon as possible, notice that the core of your being is okay, like the quiet place 50 feet below a hurricane howling above the sea. Noticing that you're actually all right now is not some kind of cosmic consciousness, usually, nor laying some positive attitude over your life like a pretty veil. Instead, you are knowing a simple, profound fact. At this moment, I am all right. You are sensing the truth in your body, deeper than fear, that it is breathing and living and okay. You are recognizing that your mind is functioning fine, no matter how nutty and not fine the contents swirling through it are. Settling into this basic sense of okayness is a powerful way to build psychological resources and well-being. You're taking a stand for the truth and against the well-intended but deceptive biases of your own brain. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's our third Just One Thing. What matters most to you? The practice? Remember the big things. Why? In every life, reminders arrive about what's really important. I've received some myself, as I'm sure you have too. Perhaps it was news of a potentially serious health problem, the death of a loved one, or an accident that could have turned fatal. These are an uncomfortable, concrete message that sooner or later something will catch up with each of us. When I'm pierced with one of these reminders, it's like there are three layers in my mind. The top layer is focused on problem solving. Beneath that is what seems like a furry little animal that's upset and wants to curl up and be hugged. The bottom layer feels accepting, peaceful, and grateful. When you get a reminder, you naturally reflect on your life, both past and to come. You consider what you care about the most, and you appreciate the things you've honored so far, and you see where you could center yourself more on what's truly important to you. While it's good advice not to sweat the small stuff, we also need to nurture the large stuff. There are many good reasons to do so, from simply enjoying yourself to recognizing the truth that one day you'll have just a year to live. The title of Stephen Levine's haunting book. You'll never know when you step over the invisible line and the countdown begins. 365 days left, then 364, and then. But you can know what you've remembered, that you've remembered the big things before and after you crossed that line. How? A few questions. In this life, what do you really care about? Looking back, what has mattered to you? Looking ahead, What do you want to keep on the front burner? Imagine resting comfortably in your last few days and reflecting on your life. What do you want to be glad that you felt and did? Some potentially big things. I'll offer here some things that I've been thinking about lately. See what fits for you and add your own. Here we go. You, the sweet, soft, vulnerable innerness upon which both the chocolate kisses and sharp darts of life land. Your own well-being. What you make of what poet Mary Oliver has called your one wild and precious life. Love in its many forms, from compassion and small acts of kindness to passionate romance and profound cherishing. The people who matter to you. Tasting with all your senses, whatever is delicious at this moment, a ripe banana, a birdsong, the curve of a highway railing, the lips of a lover, being alive. Practice, helping yourself routinely to deepen in awareness and to pull weeds and plant flowers in the garden of your mind. Karma yoga, a Hindu term that means skillful action toward wholesome ends, engaged as practice, imbued with a sense of union with whatever is sacred to you. This includes taking care of details that matter and appreciating the power of little things to add up over time for better or worse. Letting go. Exhaling, relaxing, changing your mind, moving on, disengaging from upsets, while also standing up for things that matter. The things you keep putting off, perhaps speaking your mind to someone, writing that book, returning to the piano, making time for exercise, or seeing the Grand Canyon. Being. Making time for hanging out with no agenda, rather than doing the addiction of modern life. Doing crowds out being like cancer cells crowd out healthy ones. Remembering to remember the big things and to act upon them before it's too late. And here's a little bit more information about the reference to A Year to Live by Stephen Levine. In A Year to Live, Stephen Levine, author of the perennial bestseller Who Dies, teaches us how to live each moment, each hour, each day, mindfully, as if it were all that was left. On his deathbed, Socrates exhorted his followers to practice dying as the highest form of wisdom. Levine decided to live this way himself for a whole year, and now he shares with us how such immediacy radically changes our view of the world and forces us to examine our priorities. most of us go to extraordinary lengths to ignore, laugh off, or deny our grief over the fact that we are going to die. But preparing for death is one of the most rational and rewarding acts of a lifetime. It is an exercise that gives us the opportunity to deal with unfinished business and enter into a new and vibrant relationship with life. Levine provides us with a year-long program of intensely practical strategies and powerful guided meditations to help with this work, so that whenever the ultimate moment does arrive for each of us, we will not feel that it has come too soon. You have been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer reader, Babs Felix, wishing you a wonderful rest of your day. And thank you so much for listening today. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.